It's The Bill Murphy Show. A daily one-on-one 30-minute interview featuring people from all walks of life. Available daily at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
All walks of life indeed. Welcome to the digital broadcast for Wednesday, January 12th, 2011. I think I've got the 2011 thing down now where I'm not accidentally saying 2010. Usually it takes a few weeks to get that rolling. Brought to you as usual by Lulu's Bait Shack, fresh Florida seafood, gigantic fishbowl drinks, and live music, including live original music tonight at Lulu's Bait Shack and Beach Place on A1A in the heart of Fort Lauderdale Beach. That is really the aorta of the scene down on the beach in Fort Lauderdale, so we encourage you to come down. Check out two live bands tonight. The Barron Sisters and Marvleck will be performing this evening. And it's an early night, 8:30 and 10 o'clock are the sets, so we will see you there. Today, welcome in an old friend, an old acquaintance, and catching up with him, Scott Goldman joins me in, to talk about his many different endeavors that he's been involved with since we've been in touch with each other, and tell us about a new project at lovehomeproductions.com. Scott, how's it going, bud?
It's going great, man. How about yourself?
Good. Where are you calling me from these days? Where are you hanging out?
I am back in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, you are? Okay. I thought maybe you were Boca or West Palm or something like that. Okay. Or Ben, you were out in Colorado for a while. We're going to get into the background of what you've been doing and what's led you up to the things that you're doing now. But give me the little brief synopsis of what Love Home Productions is and who's involved in that.
Love Home Productions is a full-service media company. We do video and still photography, content gathering for fluid type websites and stuff like that, plus all the stuff that media companies do. We've got a bunch of projects currently in production, ranging from infomercial to commercials to full length feature film, actually. My partner is Mark Sirota, who you also know pretty well, been a really been my best friend for over 30 years.
Right.
Extremely successful photographer in his own right. And loving life working with my best friend.
Another example of everybody taking their life experience and what it's kind of added up to and turning it into a project of your own. And it's pretty cool. Have you been warned about the, and I, you know, I'm saying this very lightheartedly, have you been warned about the dangers of working with friends?
Fortunately for me, my experiences in working with friends have not really been bad.
Okay.
You know, there's been one or two mishaps along the way, but, you know, always ended up being friends. With Mark and I, it's like we've always done work through the years, and this is now just, I guess, more of a consolidated version of things we've done, you know, throughout the course of our friendship.
Well,
and,
I guess the warnings mostly come from working with family. I mean, that turns out to be something that ends up in more squabbles and working with friends. But let's face it, to get a good business going, whether you're friends to begin with, you really kind of have to end up being friends to keep things rolling and stay positive, right?
I think a lot of it also is spelling out the business before you take on the endeavor.
Right.
And in this instance, we originally started the company with a guy who, has since, kind of weaned out in terms of being our equal partner. You know, he's still involved with us in many ways, but pretty high-level business guy. So for our LLC and all that stuff, we really did everything, by the book, legal, right way, the way our operating agreement is structured and all of that stuff. So I think it takes away the potential for misunderstanding that oftentimes may get in the middle of, of friendships where business is concerned. We all know what's what.
Right. And you're also, this is another example of sort of technology and, the ability for people to communicate with each other instantly, all coming together to make it work for you. The technology is, I take it you're one of those people that's just as excited about technology as I am.
Oh, in many ways, yeah. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. It's an amazing time we're living in from a technological standpoint.
And how does that relate to the business that you're doing? I know one example would be, sharing files with each other is now a piece of cake. You can you know, transfer 20, 30 megabyte files back and forth to each other on flash drives, FTP. I mean, it's just this instant gratification and carrying along high quality files and materials at a rapid speed. It's just, yeah, I don't know, this stuff, I know it's very geeky, but it gets me excited, and I know it works great for you and Mark as well.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. You know, I mean, I can't say that I really have the geek side of it from the understanding of what's going on. I just have it from the tool side of of using it, and it's really exciting, you know, to be involved in it. Even in terms of the, you know, what brought us here, you know, it's, you know, I don't know if you know or not, you know, HDSLR technology, which is, you know, the video format that we're on, and we're shooting, you know, shooting at high def, you know, 1080p. In the format that, you know, maybe I'm getting geeky here, but, you know, Mark has always been a top photographer, and video has come into the domain of the photographer in such a way that everything Mark's done for 20 years, the lenses and the way he shoots things and lighting and all that, has made itself around in a way that now is better captured utilizing his gear because of where technology has moved,
right,
than utilizing video gear.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that, and that's another product of what I was talking about as well, how everything is just so much easier to do now, and not only that, but the independence, I think, of people doing their own thing is something that is almost at a phenomena type level lately in the last year or two. Everybody's kind of, you know, kind of finding their own way and doing their own projects. And I think we're seeing more and more independence over the last couple of years. And I think it's a good thing. And that's why I try to showcase folks like yourself and others that are doing the business like this on their own and bring it to light for all the listeners. People can browse the website. It's lovehomeproductions.com. Actually, while we're talking, you can kind of go through there and see what the details are all about. Now, Mark has done some awesome sports photography over the year. I know I run into him at the arenas and all that stuff. It seems like that's been a regular thing for him. Talk a little bit about your background with Mark and what you guys have done in the past. I know we have this musical connection. We were thinking about having Mark and you here in person at the studio, but I know that all we would do is reminisce for half an hour and we would
people would get bored just listening to us laugh
completely, because we would just disconnect from the audience completely and just entertain ourselves. But so, speaking on behalf of Mark, talk a little bit about his past experience and what you guys have done together in the past, both musically and in this multimedia world.
Oh, great. You know, I mean, you know, going all the way back 30 years almost with you, you know, I mean, we started out doing musical stuff. Mark started out sneaking his cameras into rock concerts and this and that, and, you know, just really made his way as a photographer. And, you know, and I had done a bunch of stuff musically, you know, both here in Florida and in Denver, Colorado with some people the likes thereof. And, you know, not just going on the limited amount of time we have here for the interview, I'm going to keep that to a short explanation. But Mark really did pretty well with himself in terms of the sports photography world, became a very well-known photographer. And, you know, I think as a company, you know, we have the luxury of leveraging that.
Right.
And that brings, I mean, we did some work last week with Dan Marino, you know, just in the sports domain.
Yeah, and just to take a little bit of that burden off your shoulders, and I can just relate this to the audience so they can know a little bit about Mark. They're probably more familiar with him than they think they are. I think some of the finest photographs, promotional materials that the Heat have had since they acquired LeBron James, all the greatest photographs that we've seen of the three of them together were more than likely shot by Mark. Some great moments in sports, both in South Florida and the whole country, have been captured by Mark on his cameras for Getty Images and all his other
sports
outlets.
Sports Illustrated, etc.
Exactly. And most notably, he's done the photograph, I guess the coffee table books that you would call them, I guess, for Mario Lemieux, Troy Aikman, and John Elway. Am I getting that correct?
Yeah, and Dan Marino.
And Dan Marino as
and
well.
And Brett Favre.
So if you have those books that have the photographs all the way through, it's a photography by Mark Sirota. That's who we're talking about. And so that kind of quality of work can be found in the stuff that you would get if you hired Love Home Productions. So
correct.
All right. So that continue. I just want to take that much of it off of you, so at least people knew who Mark was when we were talking about him.
Gotcha. So we just, you know, maybe a year and a half ago, you know, looked at each other and said, you know, we're now in our 40s. We now have kids, and you know, it's now the point of life where we want to start. You know, we both kind of decided that we wanted to move forward doing what we love,
right?
And be together at it. And I had been, from a musical standpoint, which has always been my thing, you know, kind of in a little bit of a dilemma for myself. That dilemma being, you know, I don't know that what I'm saying as a musical artist is relevant to today's audience that I would be looking at.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? I'm a little older. I probably don't speak the same language in many ways, and trying to do so to me would make me feel like a phony.
Well, I think you and I both experience that when we try to have conversations about music with the younger set these days and find out how out of touch we really are once we get into it, right?
Correct, you know, and not only that, you know, some of the things that I think are great, I just had this conversation with someone the other day, you know, it's like I might play, you know, a Pink Floyd for somebody, you know, in today's, you know, today's age bracket, so to speak, or today's generation, and they may say, oh, that's a great song, but you know what, they're never going to go and put it back on their machine and listen to it, because it's not speaking, you know, the same, you know, it's not speaking the same thing to them.
Right, absolutely.
Now, as an artist, I don't feel that what I have to say is not relevant. I feel that it's relevant, but the medium in which I have to express it and the medium in which I choose to express it has, you know, had to evolve with, you know, with me as a human being and with me as a person. And for me, the natural place, you know, was the visual arts and was, you know, was film and is film, because for me, I can make the same expression, and there's really no label for relevance. You know, I mean, it's an artistic expression. It's not music that has to sound like a certain genre, or even film that has to be in a certain genre. It's just standalone, and people either get it or they don't, and I think that's the thing about art. You know, and even if you don't, you're going to get something. Maybe you don't appreciate it, maybe you do.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not holding myself responsible for whether somebody appreciates it, gets it, or anything like that. I'm just saying it.
Right. And you know, you say people either get it or they don't. And let's go on a slight tangent here. And I don't want to turn this into a, oh, these kids these days discussion, you know, and sound like a bunch of old fogies wishing that things were the way they used to be. But what do you make of everybody's attention spans these days? Do you find it's really, really hard to get people's attention, and you may get put out a piece of work that took weeks, years, or months to put together, and basically within the first 5 seconds of whatever it is you're showing or playing for somebody, people have made up their own idea and are moving on to the next thing. It's just attention spans are really tough things to battle these days.
You know, I think it's funny. I think that in the past, and you can probably relate to this pretty well, some of our, you know, common experiences even together, was I think the music industry always had that attention span. You know, it was like you'd play your demo for somebody, and in the first 3 seconds, they're either ready to move on or, you know, or they're hooked.
Okay, yeah, I'll buy that, but I also don't think that there's the dynamic of someone sitting down, putting on a pair of headphones, and listening to an album from beginning to end anymore. We're in the iPod world where everybody's on shuffle. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, and what I was going to finish that up with
Sorry,
I think that that attention span and that mentality is what's to the common person now, because it's such an instant gratification.
Right.
Type of generation. And I'm not faulting them for that, because I think our parents looked at us and saw the evolution to our generation and the generation below us, and now, you know, being one down to the next, you know, I guess it's always going to change, and the generation above is always going to look at the ones below, you know, and say, how can it be that way? But I guess that's just evolution, and for me, I'm I don't want to judge it, because my judging it doesn't do anything for it, because it's going to exist whether I like it or not.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And I can choose to adapt to it and continue, or I can choose to be at effect of it and, you know, and find a big roadblock.
It is turning into a little bit a more of a philosophical conversation than I expected. And as you were talking, it sort of occurred to me here that we could probably explain some of this shorter attention span generation by saying that they've been overwhelmed with material from our day, the days before us, and then the stuff that's happened in the last 20 or 30 years, there's so much of it to absorb that, you know, maybe that does help to explain why everybody's on a shuffle mode all the time, because there's so much stuff to take in from back then and now.
I think
I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. You know what I mean?
I think you're very correct, and I think you know if I'm going to add one more philosophical component to
it,
the world is a scary place right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so you know, retreat into something is a very common response. You know, and not to get political or not to get
right.
you know philosophical in that domain, but it's a different world. I mean,
yeah.
I have a 20-month-old child.
Right.
And every day I look at the world with this sense of, oh, my God, what is he going to be seeing when he's 15?
Right. And the things that don't make sense to you now with a 20-month-old, you know, under your watch, you kind of it becomes way more important. Like, well, that really doesn't make sense. And now let's do something about it, where maybe before that you didn't care so much to do something about it, you know?
100%. I mean, I feel this sense of responsibility that you know, is unless you're, you know, I was going to say unless you're a parent, you wouldn't understand, but I think that that's not correct because it's just a sense of responsibility. I mean,
right.
you don't have to be a parent to really care about the world that you live in.
All right, now back to Love Home Productions, this multimedia venture that you're involved with Mark, which seems really, really exciting. And then when you first told me about it, I kind of looked at it and went, wow, this is it was just like a giant playground of possibilities because I know you guys and I know the different branches that you could head off into and take care of at the same time. Now, I know I also suffer from this a little bit myself, and that is being, you know, I don't want to say skilled, but I want to say, you know, capable or adept at many different things in many different directions. Is it hard to focus on one or two specific products that you guys are going to really emphasize? Or is that become a struggle at all about, you know, trying to maybe take on too many different things or, you know, marketing too many different products to your customers instead of focusing on one? You know where I'm going with this, right?
I know where you're going with it, and I think, you know, not to sound like a techno, you know, guy, but it's all about bandwidth and what you can handle in your bandwidth.
Sure.
And I think that for us, right now is a very exciting time, and I'm going to answer this your question probably in a little bit of a longer way, but we have so many things that have hit us that we're not seeking out things right now. I mean, we're certainly always seeking out business, and we want to do the
cool.
you know, the best stuff. But from a major category type of thing that we as a company are doing, there's some unbelievably exciting things that have been brought in our direction. Now, we're still doing commercials, and we're still taking on commercial clients, and we have, you know, it's not just Mark and I, the company. We have some great talent within our company, so it doesn't always have to be Mark and I on a shoot, although, you know, new stuff we usually go out and figure out how we're going to do that best. But is it okay if I talk about a couple of the...
Absolutely.
The venture? I mean, I don't know if you know much about the volleyball world, Pro Beach Volleyball. The AVP Tour was always the biggest tour. They just collapsed last year due to mismanagement. The prior year they had $25 million in product endorsements, and they spent $28
million. Oh, okay.
You know, like that type of deal. A guy named Albie Hanneman is leading the way in what just announced a couple of weeks ago, the National Volleyball League. All of the major players on the tour are behind it. They've already announced 8 dates for the tour this year. Our company is the media company for that. So with that already, we're gigantically involved and busy. It's, you know, 8 different cities. They also have a whole other host of events that they do. We've been involved, as I said, with a lot of the sports guys, and we've been doing a really, you know, nice venture right now. I don't want to get too much into it with Club Med and their organization and the pro sports side of that as well, the tennis and golf and some other things there. Just a host of nice things like that that, you know, as I said earlier in the call, we've been fortunate to get a hold of, you know, because of what Mark has done in his career.
Right, right, right. And you know, if you look at some of Mark's photography with the pro volleyball players, you can see it really is it's a fun sport to shoot for him, I'm sure. You got some great, great pictures there. And there's just too many skilled athletes in volleyball. And it's so funny that volleyball has come up more than once this week on my show, which is odd. Before that, I don't think it ever came up in 6 months. But I mean, it's a very underappreciated sport. It is incredibly athletic. Those athletes, there's just too many of them around to have a league dissolve like that and not have another one emerge like it did?
Well, they just recognized pro beach volleyball as a collegiate sport.
Right.
So that's, you know, going to, you know, to go in a direction there as well.
See, you know? Could you imagine growing up today and knowing that you could get a scholarship to go play volleyball, beach volleyball at a school? That would be awesome, you know?
It's incredible, and I just, you know, recently have had the privilege of being with a lot of, you know, the legends in the sport, you know, people like St. John Smith and, Rosie Rosenthal, you know, who was, you know, at the last Olympics, and he'll be in the Olympics most likely in 2012.
Well, very cool. I'm going to exploit your connections and get some of these guys on the show.
Done deal, Bill.
Okay, cool.
Done deal. They'll be happy to do it. What I would, you know, and off the air, I'll talk with you about that and put you in touch with some great people.
Always networking, even in the middle of a show. You know,
there you go, man.
That's the world we live in. You know,
well, absolutely.
This sounds really, really exciting. So, anything from a short promotional film, an instructional video for a company, to a 30-second TV commercial, to a music video, for that matter, you guys can cover it all. And I'm great to hear that you're staffed enough to go in all the different directions at once. So I guess that really does answer my question.
And the staff is really, really, each person is talented in their own way. You know, it's not just...
So you're not stuck with one style if you get something from your company?
No, I mean, we've got a guy working with us, a guy, Jason Arnold, who's a former pro surfer, who has his own collection, one of the top underwater video guys out there.
Right.
If you go on YouTube, you know, you'll see an interesting video. He's fishing off of his paddle board, and a shark is pulling him out, and the shark's like reaching around and biting his board and all this.
Nice.
just a good guy. Just some talented people. It's a fortunate endeavor. And from the music video standpoint, I think we've been able to do some really, really creative stuff, and one of the things we're able to do because of our technology, and we have all, you know, our own equipment and all that, is we're really able to do some stuff that makes it very affordable,
right,
for bands and for guys that, you know, they want to go out there and they want that $25,000-$50,000 look, and we can bring it in at a price that's affordable, that they don't have to go out and spend that kind of money, and you know, it still takes that look. So we've done a bunch of stuff locally, And I'll tell you, there's some, you know, you can say what you want about the younger generation or this or that, but a lot of those guys are just incredibly creative.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And to the point where some of it's just downright bizarre, as you explained. And you know what? Sometimes that's what it takes to get somebody's attention these days, too.
You know, just original.
Right. Absolutely. Now, let's go back up a little bit and talk a little bit about music, because I know you're too musically inclined to not have turned your back on it completely. What are you doing musically these days?
You know, musically, I've done some of the theme music for some of the work that we've done. I do have my Pro Tools studio as well, and I've just been doing some of that kind of stuff. I probably have a library of 3/4 complete songs,
right,
and stuff like that that I've done.
As do I. We're gonna have to maybe compare shelves one of these days.
Yeah, know? No doubt. But it's been nice because I've done some of the music on a couple of the projects. You know, in the background, I don't even put it in the credit.
I don't know if you're understating how valuable that is, because for someone like you or me in the multimedia business that needs, for instance, when I do a commercial and I need a music track for it, and I know that I can. If I'm not finding it in the stock library on the wall, I can, and I have it in my head, I can create it in an hour and go, okay, that's what I wanted, and it's all original, and I don't have to pay any royalties on it, and it's all complete with the package. You know what I mean?
Exactly, and you usually get what you're looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, well, that's good stuff.
Definite value there.
So just so people know, we go way, way back, talking about 30 years ago, 30 plus years with Figment, the band that we were involved with James Wisner, who was
absolutely.
Also.
And your brother.
It was also on my show. My brother, Steve, has also
Mark
been on the
Knight.
Show. Hey, you know what's another weird coincidence is that Mark and you worked on a music video for Ghost of Gloria, and it was a complete coincidence that I had worked with them, had them on the show, and had them perform out in Fort Lauderdale at the original night, and I didn't even know you guys had done that video.
You know, it's really funny because we were at lunch, I think it was the day after they did the show.
Oh,
and they
okay.
They said to me, man, you know Bill Murphy.
Oh, man. Okay, so that conversation did happen.
It was the day after they did their show. I think it was the day after or somewhere, you know, in that close proximity. But, those guys are some really good guys, some really talented guys. And you know, I wish everything, you know, wonderful for them. And I think we're doing another one with them. You know, we've been back and forth with them and their management. And, you know, as local guys here, as you well know, you know, Mark and I basically said, you know, we'll do anything we can to support you because we'd love to see some, you know, really good talent come out of here. And that's how we feel about the whole local industry as well.
That's awesome, man. I mean, I think I'm feeling that from a lot of different people in this area now recently. And it's kind of coming to light and everybody's kind of raising their eyebrows a little bit like, you know, there is a scene of some very accomplished and skilled musicians in this area. So maybe we will have a part in that and maybe get some big acts to come out of this area in the not too distant future. Just to continue some of that, you worked with Mark Knight, our bass player from Nobody's Fault, many times in a couple of different bands as well. And then Liquid Sunshine was something that was happening in the early 90s when I was in Texas.
I think you were
at the time.
Texas, yeah.
Yeah, so I missed out on that whole thing. And then so since then, I just wanted to make that point that I'm sure you're more in, you know, still continuously involved in the music one way or another, because one, you know, once you've got a hold of that, one does not
no
let
doubt.
Go, you know. What's on the horizon for you guys? Where do you see yourselves, 6 months from now, as far as what do you think the evolution of this company is going to be, and which direction would you like to see it go? What are you enjoying the most about it?
You know, probably where I'd like to see it in 6 months, and right now it looks like it's on track to be there, is for there to really be three separate divisions. And, you know, I think the sports and entertainment side is just huge. And, I just see that growing in big ways. I think Mark and I are really excited about the feature film stuff that we're looking at. You know, I mean, I'd love for that to be what I'm doing every day, you know, is the feature film stuff. It's a lot of work and a lot of, intricacy. But, it's a pretty rewarding, creative side. And then there's, you know, the music video stuff and the corporate stuff and all of that stuff. You know, I'd like to see them as three separate divisions operating each independent of each other under the same roof. You know, maybe 6 months is an ambitious task on that. But I do see it, you know, each one of them holding their own, you know, within the next year.
Mm-hmm. Wow, very cool. And then, you and I also have some other ideas that we should talk about off the air, because it just seems like we have too many ideas in common at the moment that maybe we need to discuss a couple of them as well.
Happy to do it, Bill.
Love Home Productions with Mark Sirota and Scott Goldman, my guest today. Visit them on the web there at the website and browse. Hopefully you've been doing that throughout the show, as we've got the link posted on the page. Where else can people get in touch with you? You got an email address you can throw at us?
Yeah, sgoldman@lovehomeproductions.com. sgoldman.
All right. Continued success with all of that. And, I appreciate you being on the show with me and sharing your vision with me.
Thanks a lot, Bill. You're doing a great job out there.
Thanks again. Everybody's got a story, as the show says, and Scott's no exception. Check out Love Home Productions along with Mark Sirota. Check their website out if you haven't already during the show, as we've got the link posted up there. And you can perhaps use their services for one of your projects or some promotional items for your company as well. Hopefully another brand new show for you right here. And, of course, tune in Friday for Music Friday right here at BillMurphyShow.com.
Log on each weekday for another edition of The Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph@BillMurphyShow.com. That's MURPH@BillMurphyShow.com. A Murphonics Media Production.